Thanks, Aino.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this episode of Razor Riffs is sponsored by Amy Brick with Brick & Company Real Estate. Amy has been a realtor for 15 years. Before that, she was a teacher and she loves to give back to the community. She has a new program called Realtors for School and Nonprofits. When a person lists and sells their property with her under this program, she will donate $2,000 to the school or nonprofit organization of your choice at the end of the escrow. It's a great program, and Amy has donated $8,000 over the last year. It's a great way to help do a great deed while getting a fantastic price for your home with Amy's 11-day marketing plan. She can tell you more about it if you call her at area code 562-335-5269. Or visit her at the website www.amybrick.com. Again, call Amy at 562-335-5269 or visit her on her website at www.amybrick.com. Her California license number is 01358129. Today's episode is also brought to you by Zero Shoes. Enjoy the fun and freedom of letting your feet move the way nature intended. Lightweight, flexible, and super comfortable. Go to razorriffs.weebly.com and click on the Zero Shoes tab. Now through December 5th, you can save 70% with our Black Cyber Sale. Plus, you can sign up to win $50 Zero Shoes gift certificate. Here's a secret for all you rifters. 1 out of 5 win. These shoes can make a great holiday gift. They are fun, they are lightweight, and they are super, super comfortable. So order some today at www.razorriffs.weebly.com and click on the Zero Shoes tab. Now, back to the show. All right, guys. I'm Keith Razor.
I had a quick question.
Yeah, this is...
How do you spell zero?
Zero is with an X.
Ah.
I was about to mention that. Alan Lee is in New York today, so we got the third trusty sidekick, Grant Smith, on board. How you doing, Grant?
I am living the dream.
X?
Living the fucking dream.
Oh, way to curse on the radio, pal. I'm kidding.
I was going to say,
yeah,
when did that rule come into play?
And today's guest, we got... you guys have seen him from... He won Last Comic Standing as a Showtime special... And Comics Unleashed, the great Alonzo Bowden. How you
What's
doing,
up,
Alonzo?
Man? Good. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for doing the show.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
I was trying to find sponsors for the show, and I know you like motorcycles, so I called like this really famous motorcycle place. I don't want to like help them out, you know. But I was like, I got Alonzo Bowden. He really enjoys motorcycles, you know. I think you should sponsor the show. And they're like, is he the guy from Game of Thrones?
No, I don't know. No, so, I think I'd know if I were on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but
not that guy.
Yeah, so I figured maybe I should lie to him and just say yes.
Yeah, yeah, he's on Game of Thrones all the time. Why not?
Well, also the company that you reached out to, they may not have had the money to sponsor it because. Their logo is on the Greek Freaks uniform playing for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. Well, they have the money. Milwaukee Bucks make a lot of money, even though they're not doing that well.
It's the revenue sharing.
So, Alonzo, how was your Thanksgiving? You were telling me that you were at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah. Every year, the Laugh Factory does charity dinners and shows for anybody, you know, and they do... 4 different ones, like at 1, 3, 5, and 7. So I always do the first one. It's fun. We get a great crowd. Literally, it's just people coming in, and they're into the show.
Yeah.
So it's fun. A lot of comics come down and serve food. You know, yesterday, I mean, Frazier Smith was there.
We love Frazier.
Tiffany Haddish was there. Paul Rodriguez, Elon Gold, Maz Gibrani. And, you know, and on and on. So, yeah, we have a lot of fun just hanging out and serving, and then we kind of clown with each other on stage, figuring out what to do for this crowd. Like the usual crowd. So you adjust material, but it's always fun. Yeah. So
you guys actually, like, people eat and watch a show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We do a set for them. So it is, yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, some of them are homeless and having a tough time, then others just... No real place to go. You know, Hollywood's real transient, right? So a lot of people are just, you know, they're like, why sit at home or sit in the apartment or whatever? Just go down to the Laugh Factory, get something to eat and hang out. So it's a funny, wide spectrum of people. And some people come back year after year. Those are the, you know, like, hey, didn't I see you last year? You were on potatoes last year. I'm like, yeah, I know. I moved up to Turkey. Got a promotion. So it's a lot of fun. So, and Jamie Masada is great. Jamie does this every Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I don't know how many people he feeds, you know, but it's a lot, and it's very cool. Yeah, I've been doing it for I don't know how many years. So,
well, yeah. I know you did it last year because I saw you on Twitter last year.
Yeah. I mean, I've done
it. So I know you do it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know, last 15 years, 20 years, something like that. Like it's been going on forever.
It's a
great holiday tradition. Yeah. You know,
that's the one thing I do like about the Laugh Factory, because there's not, you know, the Improv or the Comedy Store. They don't do that stuff, you know. So I think that's
This
really
is Jamie's
awesome.
Thing. You know, Jamie's a sweetheart for doing it, and it's very cool. I mean, you know, obviously you hear all kind of things about Hollywood people and this, that, and the other, and it's like, yeah, a lot of it's true. Yeah. But every now and then, somebody, you know, what's cool? Every now and then, somebody rich does some shit really nice,
like not sexually harass
somebody,
you know what I mean?
And like no. No publicity. He doesn't do it for him. He doesn't, you know, he's not standing out front waving a bell or anything like that. He's there and he's part of it. But it's very cool of him to do. And that's why I think all the comics have fun, you know, being a part of it.
Yeah.
And does he need to bring the soapbox every year, though?
Does he need to what?
Bring his soapbox every year.
Nah, he doesn't really. I mean, they're going to interview him every year, obviously, because he's the guy who does it. But outside of that.
I was just teasing.
Yeah.
I was just teasing.
This is Grant Smith.
Extremely cynical, sarcastic. Please don't take anything I say seriously.
Not too worried about it, Grant. I can handle it.
I'd hope so.
Because like Alan Lee usually is the co-host, but he's in New York, because I got mixed up, because I know Thanksgiving is a big holiday, but usually I thought it's like the last week of December. You know what I mean? Like,
thought Thanksgiving was the last week of December?
Of November, I'm sorry.
Oh,
but like,
I was going to say, you missed by a month.
Yeah.
Your New Year's Eve must suck. You're like, New Year's Eve, you're the only guy with turkey saying, where is everybody? I cooked.
No, but so like I got
some cranberry sauce just all over the place.
Yeah, so I got so confused on the dates and stuff, and then Alan's like, "Oh, I'm not gonna be here," and then like I was like, "Oh," so then I was like, "All right, well, just have Grant do it," you know. So
yeah, see, that's usually we'll just have this kid come off the streets.
Yeah, sometimes it's good being third best.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to know where you rank. Yeah, I mean, he's not shy about it.
No. Not at all.
Alonzo, I have a question for you, and this might just be really weird, but you do shows...
Let's get started.
Let's get it started.
It's like saying, I don't mean to be racist, but...
No.
It's like when you start off something like that.
He's not...
Now it's fully weird. Yeah, let's go.
Now it's
let's
weird.
Do it.
Okay, but like whenever a host like brings you up to a comedy show... Does he ever, when you know how they give you the credits, does he ever say, all right, you've seen him in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Do they ever say
that? No, but you know who loves that I used to do? I used to do voices for Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And radio people, it's funny you bring it up, because whenever I do radio, it's one of the things they're going to ask about. Like,
really?
What the hell did you do on Power Rangers? So I was the voice of Thunderon and a few other monsters. And it was really one of these... I guess it's my Hollywood story of how I got the gig. So I started doing comedy, right? You need a day job, whatever. So a buddy of mine was doing transportation for Power Rangers, and he was like, hey, man, you can drive a U-Haul, right? And I was like, yeah. He said, same as a camera truck. You got a job. Right? So I started driving for the show, and I was just at craft service getting something, and one of the sound guys heard me talk, and he was like, whoa, that's a voice. You want to do monsters?
Yeah, you sound
like
James
like,
Earl Jones.
Hell yeah, I'll do monsters. And that was it. That's how I got the gig. They heard me talking at craft service, Next thing you know, I'm in the booth roaring, trying to kill Power Rangers.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun though. That I was on the show like from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, like when it was good, like the very
in 93. I think I was there from 93 to 97, ooh, off and on. And
that Pink Ranger.
It was. Yeah, everyone loved Amy Jo.
Oh,
Amy
yeah.
Jo is an ex-gymnast and a hottie.
Oh,
and it,
yeah.
It was funny because back then people would do set visits, right? Because
yeah.
The Power Rangers were so popular. So you get a lot of times it'd be celebrities or whoever else they wanted to visit the set. Somehow Dad always wanted to meet the Pink Ranger. Dad wasn't too interested in the blue, the black, or the green. But, oh, is that the Pink Ranger? Well, let's meet her. So, but it was fun. It was great. The Rangers were very cool, and we kind of laughed watching the show come together. Like, it was the first production I worked on, so I was learning how things work. But you just watch it, and you'd be like, really? This is, you know, TV, when you watch it being made, it's not the same as watching the finished product.
Yeah.
So we would just watch the monsters in foam suits falling down, and, you know, the fight scenes would be like just It's choreographed for kids, right? It's
yeah,
not like,
yeah.
It's not like
yeah.
some, you know, it's not John Wick.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
It's not even
and
WWE.
So we'd be like, is anybody going to watch this? And 6 months later, it's the number one kid show on earth. It was yeah. like, I guess somebody's watching.
Yeah.
So,
it's
yeah,
like
it was fun.
Kids actually like this stuff. And
yeah,
then,
yeah. They did. They did.
Yeah.
You know?
About the Power Rangers, the one thing that I don't know why I'm on the subject, but
oh, but we're not gonna get off of it.
No, we'll get off of it in a second. But the Blue Ranger on the show, like there was a lot of what's that word?
Conspiracy theories.
Exactly, conspiracy theories that he liked the fellas. You know what I mean? So like when they made the movie, they made him autistic instead, and like there's more theories on that. I wanted to see your vibes
on
that.
I hate to disappoint you. I got no theory.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, again, one of the smart things they did with Power Rangers, and
yeah.
it was like a brilliant marketing thing, was make the Rangers diverse.
Yeah.
So that all kids had somebody that they looked like them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I never heard any theories about the Blue Ranger being gay or anything like that. The funniest thing as far as the set and you know, keeping something secret
mm-hmm.
was the first Green Ranger, he was married.
Oh.
And he had a kid.
Tommy.
And,
yeah.
and they were like, we can't let anyone know that.
Ouch.
Because he's supposed to be a high school kid. So,
yeah.
so that was the big thing. The big thing, because, you know, in Hollywood, you hire adults to play kids, right?
That's
otherwise,
true.
You got all these different work rules and blah blah blah. So you know it shows do it all the time. But on this one, it was like a big deal to not let the kids watching the show know that this guy is an adult.
Oh, so like the cast didn't even know.
No, some people. Yeah, I mean people knew, but you couldn't talk about it. They didn't bring it up. You know
yeah.
what I mean? They just tried.
Don't ask,
to,
don't tell.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They just tried to keep it down so that because. They felt like that would ruin it for kids to find, you know, it's like finding out that there's no Santa Claus because your dad got beat up at a Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked the Red Ranger, but the reason why I bring up the Blue Ranger thing is because I'm autistic. So, like, they were trying to, like, say that a lot of autistic people, and blue is the color for autism, you know what I mean? So, like, they were
yeah.
trying to connect the dots on that, and I just wanted to be like, well, I'll just ask the guy who's
also,
on the show.
But this is also stuff that developed later in the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the initial show, they didn't have any of that, and then so much developed around it
yeah.
over the years. So, yeah, I wasn't in on the conspiracy theory. Sorry, I got nothing.
Now, were you doing comedy when you were on
yeah,
it?
This
yeah,
was that was my day job
yeah.
while I was doing stand-up.
So.
And the producer on the show, a guy named Jonathan Zakor, was fantastic
yeah.
because he said look, some of them came to a show, you know how you do bringer shows, you do little shows around, so I did some show and some of the people from Power Rangers came and saw me, and he was like, man, keep like whatever you need, whatever help we can give you, we'll give you. So
oh.
if you got to do a gig, we'll just hire a day player for your job
yeah.
until you get back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So that was my day job until I made it full time in comedy.
Yeah.
You know. But it was just very cool that him and everybody else on the show was that supportive, you know? And then we had one AD, a guy named Chris, who was hilarious. And Chris always would give me the best advice when he knew I had a gig that night. Hey, do the funny shit. Yeah. That was his advice. When do the funny stuff. I got you, Chris. Yeah. So that seems to have worked out.
That is good advice, though.
It's actually, I love it when like jobs like that are very supportive on comedy, because I work at a grocery store and they're the exact same way. I mean, they get irritated when like, because sometimes I have a last second gig, you know what I mean? And they do get mad, but like they do, event, you know, 90% of the time they let me have it off. So it's nice that jobs did that, and they still do that. So like that's
pretty
cool.
Still places that do it, and it helps a lot, you know, because I started comedy late, right? Yeah. I was 30 when I started, so I kind of already had a life. So the idea of, you know, living with five guys in a one bedroom apartment like that wasn't, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I don't know if I can do that. So that gig allowed me to pay the rent and maintain my lifestyle and still work my way up the comedy food chain. So yeah, it went perfect.
And then you did Montreal.
Montreal,
yeah.
Which just for laughs is still one of my favorite things in comedy.
Yeah.
So
everyone does that.
I did it. I did New Faces in 97. I got a deal, right? Because back then they would make development deals at the festival. Right. You know, so like I basically walked off stage and they're like, oh, we got to talk to this guy. So that was my start in full time. You know what I mean? Like that's when I could quit the day job. I had some cash and some gigs. And this year, this summer I went. This was my 20th, you know, 20 years of doing Just for Laughs.
Wow. Jeez.
And this year it was crazy. I did something. They said I was the first guy to do this. So initially not booked at all.
Okay.
Right? Because I've done it like the last 5-6 years in a row. And generally you do it every other year. But I do a lot of political and topical stuff. They kept having me back for that, blah, blah, blah. So initially, not booked. Then they said, we're going to do a gala, and we're going to roast Montreal. Now, the galas are the big shows that they do. They get big hosts, you know, big TV stars, movie people for the hosts, and they televise it, blah, blah, blah. So they were doing a special one just to make fun of Montreal, because it's Montreal's 375th anniversary. And they were like, since you've been coming here so much, you know the city, we want you to be on the show. So I was like, cool. So this show is taking place after the festival. The festival officially ended on Sunday. They added this show on a Monday, right?
Did you happen to record it in a hotel?
No. You're thinking of a podcast I did with Barry Katz. Is that,
Because no, because Angelo Zarucas, who's one of my...
I know Ange. Yeah, I've known Ange forever.
I call him Uncle Ange, you know what I mean? Like, he's like... So he was telling me that he was just walking in a hotel and he saw you doing a podcast and you're like, hey, Ange, get over here. Let's do a podcast. Yeah. And it was at Montreal.
That's the way Montreal is. You're just doing something. There's so many comics around and you see somebody walk by. You're like, hey, you know.
It's like Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That kind of thing. So so now I'm on this gala at the end of the festival. Then a couple of weeks before the festival, Maz Gibrani had some kind of family emergency, so he had to cancel. So they said, hey, will you come up and host the ethnic show, right? Which is one of the theme shows, which starts before the festival. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So they arranged it, so I was literally the first comic on stage at the festival hosting the ethnic show and the last comic to walk off the stage at the end of the festival.
That's cool.
So now I've done it all, and I can die. we've completed the life circle.
What are your thoughts on the afterlife? No, I'm just kidding.
We'll do that on the next podcast when I come back.
I wanted to ask you this to get away from the Power Rangers, even though we already did. But do you ever get asked if you're related at all to James Earl Jones?
No.
Because your voices are, honestly, if there was like a police lineup for voices, I don't think I could tell you guys apart.
Listen, I wish it was.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, that is
it's
a huge compliment.
Because his voice is probably worth,
it's legendary,
you know, $100 million between Darth Vader and, I mean, but he does all kind of things.
Sandlot.
Like, he's the voice of, I think it's Verizon.
Yes, like, he is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yes. Which is a weird thing that he does, but it's like, I'll pick up $1 million. I'll
Why not?
Do some voice for that. So
he doesn't act anymore. He does voices.
Yeah, he does a little bit of acting. I saw him a few years ago. But, the voice thing, is great. I get them now and then. I audition for a lot of voiceovers. They still pop up now and then. Yeah. I've done some like video games and a couple of commercials. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun when you get it's like everything in this business. It's tough to get the job, and then when you get it, it's a blast.
Yeah. Because my dad's best friend, Patrick Warburton, we call him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we call him Uncle Pat. He's known as a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except within the past 5 years, you know, he's now known as a.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like growing up, he was just known for voices. So like, you know, and I remember growing up, he had a lot of struggle because it seemed like they didn't get paid a lot of money. You know.
Yeah, it's you get paid okay, but there's a few people doing a lot of the jobs.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing. Because some people
Jesse Pinkman.
Have voices that can do, they can do a lot of voices.
Yeah.
So they'll hire one person who can do four different voices, saves them from hiring four people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So.
Can you do four different voices?
No. I'm the big, powerful, you know. I get a lot of monsters.
Oh, if you guys could see what he's doing right now, he's
like
flexing.
That.
Which way is the beach? No. This way. So. Oh, man.
Have you ever had a co-host where you just wanted to strangle sometimes?
I think you two are a good balance. I think it's great how he just sort of creeps in.
Every yeah.
Just let me creep in, throw in something, back out slowly.
It's my style.
It's a compliment, right?
It's
a compliment.
My style. Everything's a compliment. It's all perspective.
I actually, you probably get this all the time, but I actually know you from Bringing Down the House.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have played a bouncer.
Oh, yeah.
And security guy. Oh, yeah. In tons.
Steve
Martin. Yeah. Yeah. I've done it a ton. So,
oh,
yeah,
my God.
In Bringing Down the House,
I
was security guy
theaters.
Of Steve Martin's backyard. But you know what's really cool about that? And, like, I get that role a lot, but what's really cool, when you play the security guy to the star, you get to work with the star in the movie, right? So I did two scenes in that movie, one with Steve Martin.
And one with Queen.
And the other one with Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Right? And Steve Martin was cool as hell. So
And Queen Latifah wasn't.
No, she was great.
Oh, okay.
I had two I had two
sorry,
running
sorry.
Jokes.
He's creeping
in
again.
He's creeping in.
I was trying to back you into
guy.
A corner there. Sorry.
He's usually the Facebook Live guy.
Yeah. I'm here, yeah.
We usually keep him in the back.
Yes, silent.
So where the scene is, Steve Martin is walking up to a house party in his backyard, right?
Yeah.
Queen Latifah's throwing this party at his house. And me and this other guy are the security guys, and we're going to stop Steve Martin from going into his own backyard, right? So Steve, this is during the day, Steve Martin walks up with the director and the extra who I'm standing next to. He says, "Wow, Steve Martin," right? And Steve just looked up and went, "I'm acting." And I was like, "Oh, shit." Like, you know, some people take it really seriously, so I'm thinking Steve's one of those guys. So I'm like, all right, just don't mess with Steve Martin, you know, blah, blah, blah. So after lunch or something like that, his assistant's like, "Hey, I heard you're a comic. Like, Steve likes comics. You should, you know, talk to him." So I'm like, all right, cool, you know.
Yeah.
So I go over and I talk to Steve. And I said to him, I said, "Man, you were the best. You were, like, at the top of the game, and you just quit."
Yeah.
And I said, "Now, I know you got movies and stuff, but don't you ever miss doing stand-up?" So he said, "You know, I host things every now and then." And I was like, "Really? Like, what do you host?" And he looks at me and said, "The Oscars." And I looked right back at him. I said, "Who books that?" And he started cracking up. He just started cracking up. So we just had kind of a few running jokes after that. He was really cool. And then the thing with Queen Latifah, she said to me, she said, "You look familiar. Like, I've seen you some." And I said, "Well, you know, I do stand up. You might have seen me." So she said, "Yeah." I said, "Didn't you make a record? Didn't you, like, have a song or something?" And she just started laughing. And for the next 2 days, every time I saw her, I was like, "What was the name of that song? You had, like, a record or something." Like, you know. And it's great when you meet people like that. I got to do it with Leslie Nielsen. I played his bodyguard in Scary Movie 4.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this was a trip because we were doing it. It was a scene. He was basically spoofing George W. Bush reading My Pet Duck.
Oh, yeah,
when,
yeah.
You know, 9/11 happened.
And
so I'm the Secret Service guy telling him, like, "Mr. President, we got an issue." And he keeps going, "I got to finish this chapter." This is, you know. And it's hilarious, right?
Right.
So So it's like take two, take three, take 12. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get fired because it can't be Leslie Nielsen doing it wrong. You know, we're on take 15. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But for some, and then after, like, I don't know, somewhere between 15 and 20 takes, the director started cracking up. And Leslie Nielsen went to me. He said, "That's the one." And these were the same guys who did Airplane and everything. Like, he's known them forever.
Yeah.
And he said, they keep going until they laugh.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, you never know what it is. And I was like, oh, so I'm not fired? He's like, nah, you're all right. So
that's that's awesome cool. that you got to work with him, man.
Yeah.
He was a legend.
And, you know, the guy was 80 years old when we did that. He had two hearing aids in, and he could...
In each ear?
Yeah. And he, you know, may or may not remember the lines, right? And
yeah.
then when they said roll, like they take the hearing aids out, whatever, and they got rolling, bam, now he's Leslie Nielsen, and he's right on it, and he's funny, and his timing, and he's got the line and everything else. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I worked with a few people like that. I worked with Phyllis Diller.
It was
way. Like, Phyllis is this old woman, right, really thin and frail.
Yeah.
And then the cameras come on. Bam,
she's
Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
And just hilarious. We were doing this show. It was called Jury Duty. And it was like a People's Court, Judge Judy kind of show.
Uh-huh.
But the jury was three comedians. So
oh.
you give your pitch or whatever, and the three comedians decide.
That's a good idea.
And some guy was suing his landlord, right? And his landlord's like 75 years old.
Right.
And Phyllis just starts hitting on him, talking about how she likes younger men. And it was hilarious, and you just like you're like, wow, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, this is Phyllis Diller, like legendary. She's 80 something years old,
yeah.
and she just right on it, just hitting on the guy, like telling everybody how she likes younger men and what they. It was hilarious, and I love that. I loved the times I got to do a thing with Don Rickles in Montreal. You know, I've been lucky enough to work with legends,
yeah,
and the legends you see that. Yeah, in their 70s, 80s, whatever, still got it. Soon as the lights come on, they're you know,
yeah,
30 years, 40 years younger and working.
Well, see, I find it because, like, I mean, I'm only a feature comic, so I'm not a headliner. But, like, I find it way better when I work with, you know, guys I like who I open for. Like, Norm MacDonald is my comedy hero.
Yeah, Norm.
And I open
brilliant.
For him.
Norm's
you know?
Hilarious. His Netflix special
was
amazing.
Yeah. And then Jeremy Hotz. I love Jeremy.
Hotz.
You know, so
one
like.
One of my oldest friends. One of my best friends in comedy.
Oh, really?
Is Hotz. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Jeremy.
Yeah. He's damaged on so many levels. I love that guy.
But like, I find it way more rewarding as a comedian to work with guys who not only, I mean, like you said, like what are the chances that you get to work with your comedy heroes and be friends with them? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's way more rewarding than just, you know what I mean, just doing it by yourself.
Yeah, the only one I never got to meet or work with or anything was Richard Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
Never got to meet Pryor. I opened for Carlin once. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I worked with the Wayans. You know, I used to open for Damon Wayans back in the day, back in the 90s and
yeah.
stuff. And so many other people like that. I met Chappelle, like, in my first year doing comedy, I met Dave just randomly.
Yeah.
Who's the funniest Wayans?
Damon.
Damon?
By far?
Damon, by far, yeah. Keenan is a brilliant writer and producer. Like, Keenan comes up with these ideas and creates these shows and stuff. But when you're talking about doing stand-up on stage, yeah,
oh,
Damon,
yeah, yeah.
Damon by far
okay.
is the guy.
I heard Marlon got really good, though.
Marlon's a great actor.
Yeah.
You know, Marlon's good.
See,
I mean,
I heard they all specified and stuff. That,
yeah, he's good. He's good as a stand-up, but Damon is, you know, I mean, there's a reason. You know, he's Damon Wayans. You
there
know
you
what
go.
I mean? Like, there's a reason he's Damon Wayans. He's
yeah.
And a lot of times when you have somebody like Damon, like, people haven't seen Damon do stand-up really in, you know, 10 years or something like that. So you forget how good they are. You
yeah.
know, like Ellen's doing stand-up again, like some stuff here and there.
She's getting ready for Netflix, but
yeah. But people don't realize, like, Ellen was a beast back in
the 80s
when
Ellen
was doing stand-up. Ellen was one of the great stand-up, and nobody thinks about that because of the sitcom and coming out as gay and the talk show and blah blah blah. So people don't remember.
Yeah,
like, there's a reason. You know, Leno was like that with Leno.
Same with Roseanne.
When Leno got the Tonight Show and people blah blah, it's like, hey, there's a reason he got this show.
Yeah.
Like, he was the number one comic in the U.S. touring all the time. You know? Yeah, Roseanne is another. A lot of people forget that they were stand-ups, and they were great stand-ups, and that's why they got the TV or the movie or the talk show or whatever. So.
Have you ever tried pitching your own sitcom?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm more so... I'm better at hosting and talk than sitcoms, and I've hosted a few shows. I was joking with Aisha Tyler one time. I said, Aisha, what's it like to do season two? I've never done season two. I've done season one
nice.
A few times, and she was like, "That's when it all starts at season two."
Yeah.
She's like, "You're missing it," you know. She's
well, that's
meanwhile
not,
she's
that's
on
not very
season
kind.
Nine of Archer or whatever. But anyway. Yeah, so I've done some shows and always trying, you know, talk shows, game shows, hosting. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I get the occasional sitcom stuff. We laugh about it. I still get bouncers. You know, Ken Jeong, Dr. Ken, had his show and he needed a bouncer. I was the first guy he called.
Oh.
He remembers his old friends.
Yeah, yeah. Ken, the thing is, Ken used to do stand-up, too, and he was a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He was a doctor. His day job, he was a doctor, and at night he was doing stand-up. And the first time I met him, it was at the Laugh Factory, and I said, "Hey, man, are you a real doctor, or do you work at Kaiser?" And he fell out laughing because he did work at Kaiser.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But no, but I could totally see you having your own sitcom, like your podcast that you have. You know, you don't have a sidekick; you just talk about political stuff. I could see you having a sitcom like that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a tough sell, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know how this town is. You got, you know, I tell everyone we're in the lottery business.
Yeah,
you know, because people see the show when it's on TV.
Yeah,
they don't see everything it took to get there. And they don't see the, you know,
hard work,
100 other ideas that got shot down or whatever. You know, like George Clooney did like 5 failed shows before ER. Or at least, you know, however many he did and stuff. You know, it's always funny when people are like, "Would you like a sitcom?" No, I can't be bothered with 50, 100, half $1 million a week. Who wants that?
Uh-huh.
No, I prefer to be at the Chuckle Hut this Friday.
Flying coach.
You know, yeah. I love what I do, so I still get that, you know. And you get shots here and there, and you keep grinding, you know. You keep grinding.
Well, one of the things that I really like about you is because you're right, you know, you do get the occasional stuff, but you're more known as your stand-up, you know what I mean? So you're known for your stand-up, and that's like what I want to be, like, known as a stand-up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, the fame and the money is one part of the business, and it's cool if you get that. And, you know, sometimes that's marketing, sometimes it's luck, right place, right time, this or that. But the respect, you got to earn that. You got to be a comic. And the fact that I get the respect from great comics.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like in the club, you know, and that's what I really appreciate. And the other thing that happens with me that I think I really like, and this happened another time recently, when people you don't think know you, like you're like, why would you even be on their radar? And you find out they know you.
Yeah.
So like Dennis Leary, had a new book out.
Wow.
And he's doing a book tour, and I was in Chicago to do Wait, Don't Tell Me, the radio show I do. And his people reached out and said, "Hey, Dennis wants you to interview him for the book tour. You know,
he loves your
stuff." And I had never met him.
Yeah.
So it was like, how cool is that to find out that Dennis Leary not only knows who you are, but likes you, you know, and stuff. So I've been lucky enough to have those experiences and work with those people. And Louis Black, who's one of my heroes, Louis is just brilliant. And we become friends over the years and you work together. So that's the beauty of being a stand-up. Plus, there's a purity to it, you know?
Yeah.
I just love stand-up.
Yeah.
I love getting on stage and just doing what I do. And you guys do it, you know. Sometimes the best show... It isn't the big one. It isn't the big Saturday night sold out, whatever. It's like Tuesday night in a little room where there's, you know, 22 people.
Yeah.
But you're just fucking around on stage thinking out loud and testing new ideas and having stuff work and not work. And that's fun, you know. Gotta love it.
We do got to take a quick break to mention the sponsors.
Make some money.
Grant was eager to do the... He wanted to do it.
I was begging you.
Yeah, so do it.
May I? All right. So, this episode of Razor Riffs is sponsored by Amy Brick with Brick and Company Real Estate. Amy has a program called Realtors for Schools and Nonprofits. When a person lists and sells their property with her under this program, she will donate $2,000 to the school or nonprofit organization of their choice at the close of escrow. It's a great program, and it's a great way to help do a great deed while getting a fantastic price for your home with Amy's famous 11-day marketing plan. She can tell you all about it if you call her at area code 562-335-5269 or visit her website www.amybrick.com. Again, Amy's number is 562-335-5269 and her website www.amybrick.com. Her California realtor license number is 01358129. And today's episode is also brought to you by Zero Shoes. Enjoy the fun and freedom of letting your feet move the way nature intended. Lightweight, flexible, and super freaking comfortable. Go to razorriffs.weebly.com and click on the Zero Shoes tab. That's zero with an X. Now through December 5th, you can save up to 70%. That's basically like getting it for free with their Black Cyber Sale. So what are you waiting for? Get some new Zero Shoes at razorriffs.weebly.com and click the Zero Shoes tab. Now, back to the show.
And I thought I had reading problems.
Man, the enthusiasm. It's a beautiful thing. You know what?
I went to college.
About that zero thing. And I understand why they spell it with next, because it's a marketing thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know who creates language, but with words like xylophone, like why did somebody say, yeah, let's spell that with next?
Yeah. I actually have a funny story about that, because I called them because I have a speech stutter, you know, and so... I called him because I tend to mess up the sponsors a lot on this show, you know, and it's part of my humor, but also, like, I don't mean to do it, you know. So I called him, and they're like, thank you for calling Zero Shoes. How can I help you? I was like, I got it.
Thank you. Got it.
So just hang up. But we have a couple of Twitter questions. Do you like Twitter questions?
Yeah, fire away.
All right. So this is a Twitter question from LadyBoy818. Alonzo, do you still get recognized from your role from Angel?
Once in a great while. Yeah, that's deep in nerddom.
Yeah.
They recognized me from Angel. But yeah, I played a prison guard on it. I'm telling you, man, I've done all the, like, the security things and the criminal. Like, I've been on both sides of them.
So you've been like paranormal prison guards too.
Yeah, but Angel, it was just regular prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing weird.
I interviewed Matt Champagne maybe 2 years ago, and he was on Angel like one or two episodes, and he said, everyone recognizes me from Angel.
You know, shows like that, they have like a cult following.
Yeah.
So if you're on it, people are like, you were on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I was. Appreciate that. Thank you.
This isn't really a question, more like a comment. So, you know, but I'll say it. This is from BoyLady818. Says,
I'm noticing a theme here.
Yeah, it says, Alonzo, you should pitch a new MTV show called Pimp My Bike.
We didn't talk to MTV about it, but we did talk about a bike show about hooking up bikes. And you know, here's the thing about the motorcycle world: like, all the shows are just Harley based, like chopper based shows, and then. Whenever you try it, they say, oh, we want to do something different. And then you pitch something different. They're like, nah, we'll stick with this. So Orange County Choppers is coming back again.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'd rather see the motorcycle
wait.
One.
Not wait.
I could see it. Pimp My Bike with Alonzo Bowden.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe you should try pitching it to MTV.
Maybe you should pimp bikes that are like bicycles.
That's a whole different world. But that it's a big world, though. Yeah, there's a lot of guys who do bicycles.
They want something cool different, don't they?
Yeah, that's what they'll say until you bring them something different. Then they're like, nah, we like the same.
Oh. OCC.
And now it's, this one's next going to be from boy, lady.
No, lady.
Boy 818 lady something. You know?
Yeah, that was the first one. This is... The thing I don't like about Twitter is, like, all these handlers, like, they're so, I don't know if they're, like, they're real questions, but I don't know if
they're you don't handlers. Know who's doing what's real, what isn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's the question?
This is from Alex Loves Troy Forever. If the Last Comic Standing winners came back and did a Last Comic Standing match, do you think you could take them?
Yeah, I like my odds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like my odds.
You could definitely take Dat Fam and
John. I think so.
Yeah.
Are we talking like cage match?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you could definitely take Jeselnik or something like that.
Jeselnik didn't win.
You know what happens with that show? I think, like, once you go through, especially back when we did it, we had to do a lot more rounds than the current one. But, like, me and Heffron, like, we have an agreement. We will never compete in anything in life because you do it so much.
Not even, like, a game of horse.
Going head, yeah, exactly. Going head to head and over. And me and Heff went. We went to the finals in season 2, and he won. Then we went to the finals in season 3, and I was. So we did, like, a ton of stuff, you know. And you're just like, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great run. It got us on primetime TV. But the parts of it are nerve-wracking, and parts of it are... They try to make you... They try to develop a rivalry, and comics really aren't rivals. Like, after a while, you think it's competitive when you start... Then you realize, like, nah, it's really not, you know.
I know what you're saying, because, like, I'm really, like, Ida Rodriguez is, like, my comedy mom,
you know? I know Ida. I love her.
Yeah, I love her. Like, I'll do anything for her. And, like, they tried to make it seem like she had a revival with Jimmy Shepherd. And I was like, they're actually really good friends.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I stopped watching it after Jay left, because I thought Jay was the reason.
Jay was great.
Yeah.
Jay, you know, when Jay was hosting, it was like... Jay would mess with us all the time. I said it was like he was in the fraternity and we were pledges.
Yeah.
Like that was his thing. And Jay would talk shit and he'd give you shit. And if you gave it back, he would back off.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you gave it back, he'd back off. But if he saw that, like he got that thing, then he'd just start poking and keep poking and keep poking. But, yeah, I'm still cool with Jay to this day. We're friends. Jay Moore is... I met him. I opened for him. I think, that must have been like 95, 96, something like that. You know, we did a week at an improv, and this is one of my favorite early Jay Moore moments. So I had a friend, my friend Pete, had lost an eye, so he wore an eye patch, right?
Oh, God.
And he's hanging
JJ
out
do?
With me, and we were at the old Brea Improv, which where I'll be this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Anyway.
we're going to plug that.
So... Pete is walking down this hallway, and a woman is coming the other way, and they meet at the corner, and she's got an eye patch on the opposite eye.
Oh, my God.
Like, his left eye, and Jay just looked, and, like, they just locked eye.
My God.
I'll never forget that. It was, like, one of those perfect moments. They just locked eye.
JJ.
It was hilarious.
Good guy. It's Grant's dream to open up for Jay Moore, so he calls him JJ all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It could happen.
Yeah,
go to the improv. He does the improv at least every month.
Yeah, but you're speaking of the improv. You're going to be doing Brea this weekend, which we're going to plug away at Brea Improv. People can get tickets at brea.improv.com.
Right. Grant, could you just do that plug for me?
Yeah. You guys can. Rifters and everybody else listening, you can catch Alonzo Bowden at the Brea Improv this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I don't know the exact dates, but he'll be there. And if you're not, you have really questionable judgment.
There you go. That probably just sold out the late show Friday.
Oh,
thank you, Grant. That was very cool. Thank you, man.
Welcome.
I appreciate that.
Anytime.
He needs a new job because he's not coming back. But, I really want to go. I have a show tonight, but I want to go tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Come through.
And Where can the folks find you? Podcast?
Website, alonzoboden.com. My podcast, Who's Paying Attention, is part of All Things Comedy. And, of course, Facebook and Twitter, at Alonzo Boden. And Zofunny on Instagram. Somebody took my name on Instagram. I think they thought to be one of those, well, I'm going to sell him his name back. It's like, no, I'm just going to make up another name.
Well, Alonzo and Zo is kind of the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, do people call you Zo growing up?
Sometimes I get Zo. The thing with Alonzo is, you know, there's Cristela Alonzo, brilliant Latina comic.
Alonzo Warning.
So she and I have a thing of being each other's favorite Alonzo.
Yeah.
And we're doing a show together at Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa the 13th and 14th of December. So it'll be an all Alonzo show. We got Ed Alonzo, the magician.
Oh.
So yeah, just Alonzo's running all over the stage.
You got Alfonso Ribeiro on that show.
Couldn't get Alfonso, but he spells it wrong. So he ain't in. He ain't in.
That would be great, though.
He ain't in.
Have him do the dance.
Yeah. I heard he hates the dance. Did you read that?
How could you not?
Yeah, yeah. He hates when people ask him to do the dance.
Well, yeah. I mean,
is there anything you hate when people ask you to do?
Yeah, when people say that I look like I can beat up people, man, if they don't laugh, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat the hell out of anyone who doesn't laugh. That's good for the career.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that's annoying.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, before we go, I just wanted to say I really do appreciate this. You're one of my heroes, you know.
Thank you.
And I've been trying to get you on forever. And, you know, you really did cheer me up today. So, like, it was like just, and it's only 11 o'clock, you know, seeing you and making me laugh and stuff really, really.
Well, you're hanging out with the right people. You're opening for Hots. You're hanging out with Ida.
Yeah.
You're with the right people. And Grant's going to take you.
Yeah.
You
places,
don't know.
Yeah.
This guy's going to catapult you. Don't forget Grant as you move up the food chain.
Oh, he won't.
Zero Shoes is going to call me and be like, we sold Zero Shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to blame you.
Yeah.
Boom.
All right. So Brea Improv, Alonzo Boden this weekend. Tickets are at brea.improv.com. You could follow Facebook, Instagram, Alonzo Boden.
Yeah. All you got to do is Google comic and Alonzo, and it's going to be me or Cristela. I'm the tall one.
Yeah. And then
And he'll have Power Ranger credits.
That's right.
Yeah, you never finished that question. Did people ever interview, like, do hosts ever say?
Well, like I was telling you, on radio, they always ask about it because radio is sound. But, people in general, they don't know
Ladies
about
and gentlemen,
it.
Welcome to the stage.
Live from the Power Rangers.
I just think that would be the funniest.
I still have my crew jacket.
Dude, if I ever MC one of your things.
Oh, yeah, you got
it. I will. I'll just harp on it for like
the
15
Pink
minutes.
Ranger, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
How many kids would that traumatize?
Yeah, I just think that would just be awkward.
Nowadays, 2017, probably not many.
All right, guys. Well, before we go, we got to mention our sponsors again. And once again, thanks so much, Alonzo. Grant, before I sign off, is there anywhere where people can follow you?
Yeah, you guys can follow my Twitter at Grant Smith, and instead of a G, it's a 6 that looks like a G, because I had the same problem you had. Somebody took my name.
Yeah,
and my name's not that common.
Well, Grant Smith's more common than Alonzo Boden.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was being sarcastic. And then,
oh, I can't tell.
I also have a podcast, Instagram, Twitter page, and that's at an ounce short, like you're an ounce short when you're
an ounce short.
An ounce short of something, yeah.
Alonzo needs a new guy to introduce him on shows, so you got the job, buddy. All right, guys.
You know I can host. Don't give me that.
All right, guys. Again, follow Alonzo Boden. See him this weekend at the Brea Improv. It's going to be fun. If you guys like the show, please subscribe to iTunes, rate and review. Feedback. We like honest feedback. And we're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Reza Riffs. And again, this episode of Reza Riffs with Alonzo Boden was sponsored by Amy Brick with Brick and Company Real Estate, the best This episode of Razor Riffs was sponsored by Amy Brick with Brick and Company Real Estate, the best realtor in the business. Check out her program, Realtors for School, and nonprofits. When a person lists and sells their property with her under this program, she will donate $2,000 to the school or nonprofit organization of your choice at the close of the escrow. It's a great program, and it's a great way to help people do a great deed. She can tell you more about it if you call her at 562-335-5269 or visit her website, www.amybrick.com. Again, call Amy Brick at 562-335-5269 or visit her website, www.amybrick.com. Her California license number is 01358129. Today's episode was also brought to you by Zero Shoes. It's that time of year, Rifters. Go to razorrifts.weebly.com and click on Zero Shoes, where you can save some big bucks this holiday season. Which Zero Shoe is right for you? Take the online quiz to find out at razorrifts.weebly.com and click the Zero Shoes tab. Alonzo, thank you so much, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys.
You're welcome.
We'll see you guys next week.
Later, Rifters.
Bye.